Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 13. Let us read first 10 verses with the help of the Lord. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? This is the passage I wanted us to read before our prayer. And now let's take a moment and look up to the Lord in our prayer and thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for this precious seed and for the sower that went forth to seed the seed. We are thankful, O Heavenly Father, that nowadays this precious seed of life everlasting, the teaching of thy beloved Son, which thou hast given him to give to us, is spread all over this earth. Many books have been printed, many smuggled into the countries that where there is persecution, and many scattered and left forsaken and forgotten in this country where there are so many books translating thy word into other languages. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for that word of thine. And we praise thee, O Lord, that in thy goodness, in thy grace, thou hast not missed any place, O Lord. So abundantly, so generously, thou hast spread this holy word of thine to cover even the stony places, even the places that are by the road, at the roadside, and the thorny places. And, O Heavenly Father, thou hast well covered the good grounds. And now we pray, O Lord, that thou grant us that seed today again. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou make us focus on thy holy word, that we be not like those that received the seed by the wayside, open to the birds that are in the air, open to the opposition of the gospel, to other teachings and other thoughts and ideas that will take away the gospel. That we be not like those, O Heavenly Father, that have any other but the proper reason for listening to thy holy word. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, help us not to take the gospel as an advantage to our wishes, our vanity and pride and empty, vain desires, O Lord. We pray that thou protect us from the thorns that we have so carefully planted in our thoughts and our way of reasoning, O Lord. We pray that thou give us grace to pluck these thorns and thistles out and to clear the ground of our heart, O Lord. We pray that that our hearts be not like the stony places, but like the good ground, O Lord. May our hearts today be blessed by the touch, healing, and reviving touch of Thy Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of obedience. May our hearts be softened to that obedience that is Christ-like, O Father. We pray that as we read Thy Holy Word, as we ponder upon the meaning that Thou hast so clearly explained, and yet there are quite a few things that we need to understand more and better today. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that this seed of Thine may fall upon our hearts, that the Word of God may grow its deep and wide root into every fiber of our being, O Lord, that we also may be firmly grounded in the teaching of our Savior, that the gospel be our bread of life, the living water that will not only fill our hearts and our souls, O Heavenly Father, but that will flow through us to bring the strength and life to the others, O Lord. We pray to be the channels of Thy goodness. O gracious and loving Lord, forgive us today that in the past days we often forgot Thy word. We don't even know how many opportunities we missed to share Thy gospel. We don't even know how many times we shared or participated in one way or another in the things of this world that are not good for us, that are not clean, that are not admonishing and helpful to our inner man. O Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray today that Thou bless Thy Holy Word and multiply it, and may Thy Holy Spirit rule in our hearts and control our lives, that, O Lord, as Thou art loving us with that everlasting love, we may become loving and lovable children of Thy covenant in Christ Jesus. May His blood continually purify us, and Thy Holy Word continually sanctify us, and Thy Holy Spirit consecrate us, that we serve Thee and worship Thee with our heart and mind, soul and body, that our pilgrimage may be a blessed pilgrimage, though we go through many difficulties and sometimes through deprivation and sometimes through suffering, O Lord. May all be in Thy honor, to Thy name's glory. We pray in the name of the Savior. Amen. Well, today is the 1st of November. Less than 2 months and this year will be gone. Is everything going as usually? No major changes? Around the world is still going on. The sinners are progressing in their sinful ways. The religious people are progressing in most of the other ways, but rather than spiritual things, you know, religious organizations are still growing, still being multiplied, the programs of all kind of things, you know, and just recently I heard that one of the groups that claim to be the first Protestant group in the world, they've been in existence for so long. They have a great event today. First time in the history of their church, they call it church, a woman is going to be ordained to be a bishop, to lead a good part of that church. And everything goes on. It really goes on just as it did in the days of Noah. And in the world, everything goes on just as it was in the days of Lot, in Sodom and Gomorrah. Day by day, week after week, month after month, and year by year, until that day. Well, let it be. God's will be done. Let it be. But what about us? Where are we? That's the question that is the most important for us. Well, there is some significance in the question where we are coming from. Some significance. But all the meaning, the most important thing is, where are we going to? And how fast? Are we looking back like Mrs. Lot? Are we lingering like her husband? Are we dragging our feet like their daughters? Are we rushing to the mountain like our father Abraham when the Lord said, "Leave thy people, forsake thy country, and go into the country that I will show thee." Not "I have shown thee," but "I will show thee." And he did. Did he make some mistakes? Of course. Of course. Otherwise he couldn't be our father, could he? He was a man. He did make some mistakes. But he always turned again to the Lord. And the Lord always moved him forward, onward. So, I find that to be a fact that is stirring up my mind and moving my heart in a special way when I see another year is gone. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was preaching for something about 3 years. And look how much is written. All the books of the part of the scripture that we call the New Testament, and by the end of the book of John, we read that if everything was recorded, in this whole world, the books could not be piled up, could not be contained. So much was done. If we look how much the Lord has done in our life, in us and through us, even that would be sufficient to write great books, a lot of books. And probably hardly anyone would understand these books. I hope we would understand them. Maybe. Maybe not. But the Lord has done His part. He has given us His word. He has given us a lot of opportunity. And He is still giving. The question still remains, what am I doing? Like in that song. What is the beginning of? What is the first verse of that song? Oh yes. "Thou gave thy life for me, thy precious blood thou shedst, that I might ransom be and risen from the dead. Thou gave thy life for me. What have I given for thee?" Well, if we are aware of that, if we are aware of the fact that we have not done as much as we should have, and if we are willing to do what the Lord is asking us to do, then I'm confident we are on the right hand side. If we are on the right hand side now, and we don't switch the sides, I'm confident that we will be on the right hand side when He divides all the nations on two sides. In the Proverbs, there is a verse that says, "To which side the tree is leaning, on that side the tree is going to fall." And I wonder, really, how strong a wind would be to turn and to make that tree that is leaning hard on one side to flip to the other side. Hardly ever that happens. Normally, well, what's normal? Usually, the tree will fall down to that side where it leaned. And if the wind is blowing into that direction, the tree will lean even more until it's fallen down flat. But if the opposite wind is blowing, that tree will resist. Some branches might break off, but the tree is not going to flip over and fall to the other side. That's amazing. It almost makes me feel that some trees are as stubborn as humans. You know. The world gives temptation, and we lean in that direction. The Lord gives a warning, and we don't pay much attention to that. I say we, because we are human, we are people. And if I keep saying they, oh well, let them do what they want to, but what are we doing? The Lord Jesus Christ had a wonderful way of teaching the people. Most of the people, or many of the people there, were agricultural. They either had flocks, or they had gardens, or fields, or vineyards, and so on. And the Lord is teaching them. Some of them were fishermen. So at this moment, the Lord entered into one of the boats or ships, and a great multitude was on the hillside, or on the shore, as we read here, and he spake many things unto them in parables. And so he told them something that is familiar to them. He didn't tell them something from science that is only for the highly educated people. He didn't talk to them about stars and stargazing. Just recently I got quite disappointed by hearing one of the, there at work where I work, hearing a tape. One man, some kind of a preacher, that is quite a skillful speaker, quite a, I would say, gifted speaker, and that I often listened to in the past, well, what is often, probably a couple times each month when I catch it, talking about the meaning of zodiac. And I didn't know much about zodiac, only I knew that it's gentle, it's heathen, it's idolatrous, it's made of Greek or Roman myths, and so on. And amazingly, this man related everything to Christ somehow. In that zodiac, there are so many things that remind him about Christ, and I just didn't feel comfortable with that. If I had a chance to talk with him, I would probably say, "Amen, where are you going to?" But it's amazing. And this news that I shared with you about ordination, a woman for a bishop that in a group that claimed to be first and the oldest and very strict and so on. I wonder how strict they are, but that's theirs. In any case, when the Lord is preaching, he is preaching in such a way that not only everyone can understand, but no one can have a valid excuse. Hey, I just cannot understand that. So when the Lord finished this story about seed and the sower and so on, the disciples say, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Why did they ask that question? Did they like the way he was preaching, or they thought that it's not the best? I wonder, am I wrong when I think that they ask a question usually when they are not happy with what he is doing? And the Lord answered to them. That's verse 11. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Now, let's think for a moment. Did the disciples understand the story? He says here, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. But was it not given to the others just as much as to the disciples? What's the difference? The Lord was preaching, and all the multitude can hear, and the disciples can hear. What is the difference? Is the difference in the seed, or is the difference in the ground? In the heart's openness to the word of God. What is the other difference between the disciples and the multitude? Well, the multitude came to be healed. You know, they came to be healed of their physical diseases, sicknesses. They came to eat bread and fish. They also came to hear some comfort, some encouragement. But then they turn back and they go to their usual way of living. Many of them. But the disciples followed the Lord Jesus Christ. The only ones that are truly given to understand the word of God are those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Lest we try to catch any pride in this. When we don't understand something in the gospel. You know why that is? Why we don't understand? Because we did not follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that question, in that manner, in that section of our life, in that section of the scripture. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have greater abundance. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Now how shall it be taken away? And how shall it be given more to have abundance? When we labor in the gospel, when we strive to learn, to meditate, to pray about that, and to understand what the will of the Lord is, and when we pray for the grace to be faithful, to live the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, more and more is given. Now we can be one of the two sons of our Father. We can be the son that returned back and said, Father, I sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But I cannot live without you, Father. Open thy home to me. But we also can't be like the other son and believe that, well, I served this father of mine so long and what did I get for that? Nothing. Everything is given to that son that got back. You know. So we can think, well, we labor so much and look what I find in this scripture. Another rebuke. Another correction. How long? When shall I once be worthy of all compliments, all praises, all recognition as the good one? Well, I'd like to share the news that you know very well with you. Never. Never, as long as we live in this flesh, we will never be the all good one. And woe unto us if we ever become. So the Lord is encouraging us. He is giving us blessings. He is comforting us. He is allowing us to share His word. He is allowing us to pray to Him. And He is answering our prayers. And He is blessing us abundantly. And He is adding that those blessings, multiplying His goodness and grace. Well, let me tell you, I don't know of any other person that I ever met in my pilgrimage so far, about whom I could know as many mistakes, as many weaknesses, as many shortcomings, as many wrong things, as many as I know about myself. And to tell you the truth, I don't know how many there are. And I don't know of any other person that I met so far, in my lifespan so far, that was as blessed, as comforted, as encouraged, as fortunate in Christ. Is that a good way of saying it? I don't know. But just as blessed and as happy in Christ as I have been. And if the Lord is so good to me, I think that He can be much more abundant in His goodness to every one of you. And of course, I don't know how much He is, but I think there is just no limit. The limits are always set by the human side. Well, here the Lord says in the verse 13, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Oh, well, they did at least something. Here we see some action. They closed their eyes. Well, I thought perhaps their heart waxed gross. Could it be that somehow it waxed gross before they had any ability for a conscious effort to do something about their heart? Could it be they were raised that way? I don't know. But could it be? So many people in our generation, in these years, are blaming their wrong on their parents and their grandparents and their teachers and the others that taught them and so on. The system. Mostly it's the system that is wrong, not me. I'm never wrong. I'm always victimized by somebody else's wrong. You know. That seemed to be the attitude of the new generation. Well, suppose that their heart was gross before and their ears were dull of hearing. They cannot hear very well. Somehow they have some defect. Maybe when they were young or small children, they had a high fever and their hearing is not as good. That happens sometimes. But they have their eyes, and the Lord did not say they are short-sighted, they are far-sighted, they have crossed eyes. No. They did something to their eyes. They closed them. Well, if one is not laboring for the Lord, he is laboring against the Lord. It just cannot be that one is doing exactly nothing. So, let's think about that again. The prophecy of Isaiah the prophet is fulfilled among these people. By hearing, ye shall hear, and shall not understand. They can perceive by hearing. They hear. It's not their hearing that is wrong. It's their perception, their understanding. Well, if they close their eyes, that tells us that they did understand something. They just didn't want to face it. Why they did not understand? Because there was a lack of will. Was it only lack of will? No, there is a strong presence of resistance to the Word of God. Well then, why is the Lord preaching to them? Isn't that waste of time? No? No, it's not waste of time. This Word of God is going to be blessed and will accomplish all that it should accomplish. This Word of God is going to be blessing to those that seek the blessing and a condemnation to those that ask for condemnation. So what happened to these people? And why is the Lord telling this to the disciples? The Lord did not answer every question that the disciples asked. And yet he did answer this question. He told them, "This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time, they don't want for a moment to see the truth, to face the facts. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Remember when the Lord, by the end of the gospel, was talking to the disciples, and about the same time, the Lord told them, "You know where I'm going to, and you know the way." And another of the disciples said, "Lord, we don't know the way." And at this time, they could just as well have said, "How are we blessed? We don't really see." Did they see, really? Why did they ask this question? If they saw, if they did understand, if they did see, if they did hear with the inner ears, why did they ask the question? They could have known the answer before. And yet the Lord says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." What was the difference between the blessing and the lack of blessing, which is going to be followed by a curse, condemnation? The disciples of the Lord did follow the Lord. They did not understand everything, but they did follow. And when he commanded something, they obeyed. But the other people, they listened only as long as it was pleasing to them. And the moment there was a rebuke, a correction, a commandment, they turned away. Many of them. So the blessing is in following the Lord even when we don't understand, even when we know that we don't understand everything. Now there is the other situation, when we feel that there is just really nothing that we don't understand. That's more dangerous. It's more blessed to be aware that we don't understand everything. And yet we understand that much, as Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou art the one that has the words of life eternal." Disciples did understand at least that much. They did not yet understand that new life in Christ. But they did understand that these are the words of truth, the words of life. And then the Lord tells them, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So, let's hear the story. As the sower went forth to sow, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Here in the verse 19, the Lord says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart." This is he, or this is the parable about the person that received seed by the wayside. Now let's think for a moment. How does the enemy grab and take away that which is sown in the seed, in the heart? Well, first, that was by the wayside, you know, that soil is not cultivated. As a matter of fact, often if two people or two vehicles, horse cart or donkeys or oxen with a cart meet on a narrow way, they will
widen the way. They will bypass one another, and each one probably will ride or roll over the soil that is next to the road. So that soil is hard. It's not cultivated. Everyone that receives the word of God as the herd of pigs on the hillside, they were grazing there, they had divided hooves, but they didn't chew cud. They didn't meditate on the word of God. They didn't practice the word of God. So, what happened? When the enemy got hold of them, they rushed themselves into their destruction. Another way that the enemy is taking away the seed from the heart of man is entertainment, education, the peer pressure, just about anything, all of the things that we value, that are important to us. When we dedicate our time, or maybe that's too strong a word, when we waste our time for the things that are not encouraging godliness, promoting godly way of living in us, helping us to know and understand the scripture better, and helping us to apply the scripture in our daily walk better, whenever we do that, we are helping the enemy to take away the seed of life from our heart. And whosoever has, to him shall be given. So what do we have? We'll get more of that. What we don't have, we'll lose, even that we think we have. So, the Lord is saying that the one that will allow the enemy to take away that seed, the one whose mind and heart is turned so much to the world and the things of the world that he will quickly forget the word of God, and the word of God will not remain in his heart, and the teaching of the Lord will not remain in the mind of this person, he is like the one that received the seed by the wayside. Well, that is the second example. Some of the seeds fell in upon stony places where there had no much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depth or deepness of earth. So what happened? There is the seed, and when the dew fall down, you know, it moistens the thin layer of soil, the thin ground that is around the seed, and the moisture cannot sink deeper because rock is underneath, you know. So that seed seemed to be enjoying, so to say, the moisture longer than the fourth example, that is deep ground. The moisture goes through and kind of sinks into, soaks into the ground. And what happened? Quite quickly, this seed germinates, it starts growing, but it doesn't grow for a long time. And the Lord says that the stony places are a parable or indicate some people that hear the word of God, and right away, with joy, they receive it. Imagine that. Joy. They rejoice in receiving the word of God. Yet, they have no root in himself. Now think about that. Suppose that you witness to two persons, and one person is quite reserved and is saying, how can it be? And why is that so? Why does the scripture teach that? And why do you believe this or that? And there is a lot of thinking and kind of commotion in the mind of this person. And the other one that you witness to is receiving the word right away and is rejoicing. Who would you rather witness to more and more eagerly. You see, the Lord says, the one that is slow is faster, and the one that is quick will not last. I would think that if I talk to a group of people and some of them receive the word of God with joy, I would say, oh, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. But the Lord says, no, you be patient, you be careful. Wait and see if that seed fell into the depth of the heart, or is that only on the surface. So, of course, there were the people that rejoiced and received and continued steadfast in the faith. But in this story, the Lord is exposing to us the things that we tend not to notice. And He's often doing that. So, that's the one that received the word on the stony place. About that stony heart. Oh, can anything change the stones? Can anything turn rocks into soil? That's something to think about. I wonder if you remember. Where was that? We went once for some place up in the mountains, and there was a whole huge hillside and old rock, solid rock. You know, you could see from, we were standing below. I was afraid to come closer to that mountain, to that hill, because it was solid rock, but all the rock was crumbling, breaking into small pieces, more than a piece of brick. And at the foothill, there was a huge pile of broken rock, and all the rock was in pretty nice rectangular shape. You could build a wall. Amazing thing. What is making that big, huge cliff, the whole hill, falling apart? Something is doing that. Well, the Creator that created such part of the whole creation to allow us to see that, He's just reminding us in many and diverse ways that He has the power to soften even the rocky heart. It takes time, and sometimes it takes a strong impact, you know, a strong hit. I think Saul of Tarsus was a hard rock. Even so hard that there was no soil at all. The seed of the gospel did not even stand on his heart. It would just roll away. And yet, whoever will fall upon this rock, the rock of ages, cleft for us, will be broken. Upon whom he will fall, will crush him into powder. I think that in this case, Saul of Tarsus was really crushed. Wonderfully crushed. Oh, he was crushed to death. But such a wonderful new creature God created. And he became not Saul of Tarsus, but Paul of the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, I think that's the reason why the Lord is telling us these stories. None of the people in this whole world is hopeless unless he or she chooses to be. Well, in the third case, we read here, well, the second case, that rocky ground. When the sun was up, this seed was scorched. Well, the same sun is shining upon the good ground and upon the rocky places. And the seed on the good ground is growing wonderfully. Praise the Lord for the sunshine. And the seed that is on the rocky places is scorched. We read the word of God, and we are blessed by it. And somebody else will read or hear the word of God and be scourged. It's beating me. Well, it's beating us too, but we grow. Is it not? Of course it is. It's not always just saying, oh, that's wonderful, you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. And if the Word of God will be talking about blessings only, we'll probably find out that it's boring. It's blessing. Wherever you open, it's everywhere. Blessing, okay, we know all the blessings, and we don't read it anymore. But the Word of God is telling us all that we need. The God that created this whole creation, He has put a lot of power in His Word. And the Word was God. And brought to us a lot of grace and truth. So, in the third case, some seeds fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. Well, why is that so? Why would thorns spring up faster and stronger than the seed? Why not the other way around? Who made that choice? Who planted and cultivated all the thorns? Would anybody volunteer? Well, I did. I did my thorns. And the Lord says, for example, the Lord says, don't worry, and I worry. Fear not, and I fear. See, my thorns are planted by myself. I wasted so much time. If I used more time to pluck out all the thorns and thistles and clear the ground and let the Word of God grow, that ground would be as good as the fertile ground, I think. Otherwise, how could the thorns and thistles grow there? I would think that the thorns and thistles were the preference of that person. But again, the Lord is telling us that with a reason. Not that we would just say, well, what can I do? There are some of those thorns have such big roots in my heart, I just cannot pluck them out. I'll get a heart attack. No, I won't. I'll get a heart attack if I don't pluck them out. You see? So, the Lord is telling us that it can be done. Well, then He explained. He also that received seed among the thorns. Oh, that's what the case is. It seems that the thorns were there before the seed. And the heart was not prepared well for the seed. Maybe I read the Word of God, but I want to keep my thorns. But the Lord is explaining what these thorns are. The care of this world. Remember what He said in the Gospel? When you pray, do not ask what you are going to eat, what you are going to drink. Do not ask for your clothing. Well, what about a shelter? What about my business? My employment? What about my enjoyment? Can I pray for that? There was a little story, a little bit funny story, that a mother said to the child, when you want to use these new toys, be sure to ask me, because you need some help there. Those are new things for you. And the child said, no, I'm sure I can do it alone. We don't pray for some things because, not because the Lord told us not to pray, but because we do it alone without Him. But if we are going to use our food and drink and our clothing and our shelter and our work, our job, our income and all of our life for the Lord, we need only to pray for one thing, that His kingdom fill our heart and home, that His will be done in our daily walk. If we pray that we be good witnesses for the Lord on our job, you know, the job became only a tool, only an instrument in doing the will of the Lord. Is the job already included in our prayer? Of course it is. But when we focus on the earthly things, we forget about the most important things, which is the kingdom of God. Well, the thorns and thistles are there, and this man or this person is not willing to give up them. He or she is enjoying them very much and very well. He did not really reject the word of God. He didn't pick up the seed and throw them away. No, he received them. But among the thorns and thistles, the word of God is secondary. That's religion. That's not faith in Christ. This person is unfruitful. The word of God is unfruitful. Someday the Lord is going to ask, what did you do with that talent that I gave you? I gave you the word of God. Something you cannot even measure how great a value that is. What have you done with that? Oh Lord, I was too busy with my thorns. That's not going to work at that moment. It doesn't work now. How shall it ever work after? So, the Lord says that we should not be discouraged. We should not be desperate. Other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. And then he explained. He that received seed into the good ground, not only on the surface, but into the ground, is the one that hears the word and understandeth it. If one does not meditate on the word of God, how is he going to understand? If one is not interested in the word of God, how can he understand? If one prefers his thorns, how can he understand? If one see in the word of God only condemnation and not salvation, how can he understand? The Lord says that this one received. He's listening. He's hearing. He's understanding. And that word becomes fruitful in the heart of this person. He bears fruit. He brings forth. And the Lord is repeating that phrase 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Why did he make that difference? Everyone that bears good fruit is the Lord's. He belonged to the Lord. So one could say, well, how much am I bearing? Am I 100-fold? Or 60-fold? Or 30-fold? Well, hopefully 30-fold. If I look at myself and I find that I'm bringing forth 100-fold, something is seriously wrong with me. And you might agree to that. I say, yeah, Dijon, it would be very wrong for you to think that way. I understand that. But when we see that we are bearing the minimum or not sufficient, not enough, the Lord will give us, add to us more blessing and more fruit. But if we feel that we bring forth plenty, more than the others. Well, they're also Christians. They're also laborers. They also serve the Lord. They're also called to minister. But they don't labor as much as I. That's a dangerous attitude. Now, Paul the Apostle was compelled by the Corinthians to tell them that. And he said, I speak as a fool to you. Why did he say that? He was defending his ministry. Not necessarily his person, and for sure not his ego or vanity or pride. He was defending something that they despised, the Corinthians, and many after them. And we should be careful and we should pray that we don't despise the word of God. Not only the one that was given by the Apostle Paul or through him, but this whole scripture that we read. But he said, I speak as a fool. I labored more than all the others. He was speaking to them in their language. They were not willing at that point to understand the language of wisdom. So he was talking to them as a fool. But then he turned again to the wisdom of the Lord and presented to them that godly language. And he said, not I, but the grace of God that works in me wonderfully. It must be. Well, let me say this. Without any pride of mine, at least I hope and pray, that the Lord managed to do a few good things through me also. And I'm very thankful for that. It's wonderful. It's actually a glorious experience. But I think since the Lord is able and willing to do some good through such an instrument so inadequate, so weak, and so imperfect, he is really the Lord God Almighty. He can do. There is no measure what he can do for each one of you, each one of us, all together. Just when we pay so much attention to prepare the ground of our heart for his word, for his will. He will bless his word. He loves his word. It's a question how much we love his word. And when we love his word, we are in his love. He will bless his word. He will bless us. The others will be blessed. And he will fulfill what he promised to our father Abraham, that in his seed, which is Christ, all the nations will be blessed. And we'll be part of those nations that are blessed, and also part of the blessing to the other nations when we are one in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord.